Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
Boils and ghouls, lock your doors and strap yourselves in. From Los Angeles, California, Bloody Disgusting presents the Boo Crew Podcast. Horror news, commentary, reviews, interviews, and more. With your hosts, Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio.
I'm Leo.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Trevor, and this is your Boo Crew Podcast, episode 408. Back at it after a week off, I think, about.
A week and some change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lauren's microphone just like fell apart. That's part of what's been going on here. The studio.
Oh my gosh.
There's been so much shit. Ugh. Sorry for the curse words. Going on in this room over the past like couple weeks. It's been. There's so much going on just in life. As I'm sure you listening have going on as well. It's chaos over here. At one point, a couple weeks ago, I walked into this studio and everything in the room was off. The computers were off, the hard drives were off, and I leave this stuff on like almost 24/7, right? The lights were off, the secret passageway thing was open, so the whole room had no power. And I could hear the battery backup making this cycling sound. So what was happening was everything was plugged into this battery backup. Sorry for the boring details. Everything was plugged into this battery backup system, right? In case the power goes off or there's some sort of surge. This whole studio is connected to a battery backup system. So it like stays running during like a power failure. So you're able to shut down everything safely. Well, I stupidly, trying to save $200, didn't replace the battery that you're supposed to replace every 3 years. I let it sit for like 7 years and I just like overwritten, like there's an alarm on it. Right. And I kept overriding the alarm because I didn't want to spend $200 for the freaking battery. So eventually what happened was the thing just completely blew and kept trying to turn itself on and off. So all my hard drives and everything was being turned on, off. And it killed everything. My computer wouldn't turn on anymore. I thought I lost everything from all the hard drives. I had like a meltdown.
It was crazy. He couldn't even talk. Like your voice was shaking and you were like stuttering and like saying the same thing over and over again. I was really weirded out.
I had like a meltdown. Like I thought that everything I do, like my day job is working for a radio station. Everything I do is audio on a hard drive, on my hard drives. And my backup is always connected along with everything else, right? So even my backup wouldn't turn on anymore. And I was like, oh my God, everything I've ever done throughout my whole entire career, 30 whatever years in radio, has just disappeared into the ether, never to be seen again. Voice recordings of our kids, like all this stuff. I was like, it is gone because I couldn't spend $200 for the freaking backup battery. So went down to see Magic Mike in Sherman Oaks.
See, it's not a stripper.
Well, that's it. They call him Magic Mike. They call him Magic Mike.
Sure they do.
He's a data recovery specialist and he works on computers. So I brought him the PC. He said, no worries. It was just a power supply. He got it working. And then once that computer started working, I plugged all the drives into that computer and it powered everything up again. And I ran and got a new hard drive that I now keep disconnected. That's a lesson to everybody listening. If you have a backup, keep it like take all your stuff in the back and then disconnect it. Put it somewhere else in case something stupid like this happens. And I'm sure it won't happen to you because you're not as stupid as I am. But anyway, so that was thing number one. Then the next day, I have these brand new sunglasses. I wear prescription glasses and I've put off getting brand new prescription sunglasses for, I don't know, a decade because they're so expensive. So finally I go, okay, I'm going to like splurge. I'm going to get the sunglasses, the prescription sunglasses. I get the sunglasses. I swear I have them 2 weeks. I walk in the house, put him down, never to be seen again. Gone. Still gone.
Still missing.
I've torn up the whole house. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they are.
Okay, let's back up. We went to Delusion, which was amazing, by the way.
Yes, and Leo couldn't make it, unfortunately. It was, Leo, you missed a great time. It was a good one. Thanks to John Braver, by the way.
Yes.
Incredible. He
hooked
had us
it
over.
Up.
So nice.
Yeah. We went with our friends. It was super fun. I can't recommend it more. It's like, I know it's over, but next year you have to do it. But anyways,
we'll have John on very soon anyway. We're going to talk all about it. Anyway, okay.
When we got there, so I don't like to bring like a bag or a purse because you're running around like a crazy person trying to do all these things. So Trevor's like, you should just bring your ID just in case. And I'm like, okay. So I had that in a set of keys. And when we got there, I gave Trevor, because he has like a wallet that I didn't have pants out of pockets.
Yeah, I had like cargo pants on.
So I gave him my ID and then the keys, assuming he was going to put the ID in his wallet. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened either. I don't even remember getting the license. But whatever happened, we got out of the car and I said, did you give me a license? She's like, yeah, I gave you my license. You put it in your pocket. I was like, no, it's not here. Like, disappeared, Leo. Like, disappeared. We looked all around the car, underneath all the seats. Like, I ripped the car apart, walked, retraced our path. There was nobody where we were either. It was like in an industrial area. I retraced the steps. There was nothing. No license. And I, like, when I checked my pocket to see if I had the license or not, we were maybe 10 feet away from the car. So, like, it had to have happened somewhere between her giving it to me and 10 feet away from the car. So I would surely be able to find, it wasn't like it was in the, you know, in the maze, right? In Delusion somewhere in the house, you know, it fell out while I was, you know, running around a room or something. No, she gave it to me, instantly lost. Like, I don't know what the hell is happening.
I don't know.
But like, maybe someone's living in the walls here or something. Like, what the hell?
More like living in the car.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't figure it out. So now, like, whenever... parking ticket, like, you know, you get a parking pass when you go to the parking garage. If she gives me the parking garage, or if I take the thing, put it in my pocket, it's gone.
It's always gone to me now.
It's because it vanishes. I don't know where it goes, Leo. I don't know where it goes.
Oh man, that's wild.
I don't know what's happening. So that kind of kicked off what became the past few weeks, and then all of a sudden, right Thanksgiving, all the kids get off Thanksgiving a couple days before, everybody gets sick. Not one of us doesn't get sick. Well, now Lauren's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all of us got sick. I ended up being okay on Thanksgiving Day, but all the plans are screwed up, right? Because we go to the families. So I was here with two of the kids who are too sick to go. Or three of the kids? How many kids?
Yeah, three.
I was here with three. And you took our daughter. She was all right. You guys were okay at that point. And did Thanksgiving over there. And over here, I messed everything up. Try to do Thanksgiving. What did I do? It was like a horrible concoction mess that I did. Oh, I got a rotisserie chicken and mac and cheese. And I, no matter how long I microwaved it for, it was cold. It was ice cold. What's happening?
I don't know.
Dude. So needless to say, I've been in a sour mood.
Righteously so.
Yeah, right. So anyway, that's kind of been. So we've been trying to get a new episode out for the past feels like 2 weeks,
and
I just haven't had no luck.
Yeah, sorry to the two of you that listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I think it's just one now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's no guest this week if you haven't figured that out already. If you're still listening, my God, like, where's the horror? There's the horror for you. Real life. God.
I know, right?
Leo, anything going on in your world before we start talking horror?
Oh, no, man.
Nothing?
Compared to what you guys went through, very uneventful.
Well, that's good, though. I like hearing that. Did you go away and do anything for Thanksgiving?
I went over to my sister's house.
Cool. Local?
She lives out there, close to where you guys live out there.
Nice, nice.
That's about it. Very, very quiet, low-key. Had a nice dinner and just, just came home and slept it off.
Nice, nice. Watch anything? Do anything cool, horror-related?
Did not do anything cool, but yeah, watch some stuff. Definitely watch some new horror out there that I've been putting off for a while.
Lay one on me. Let's talk about it.
All right. Have you guys checked out When Evil Lurks?
We did. And I got to say, maybe I shouldn't say anything. I got to say something about it. When Evil Lurks. Remember we started watching it?
Too much reading?
Everybody was like, this is going to be, you know, awesome. The most scary movie of the year. A lot of really great reviews for it. I couldn't get into it. I watched it for maybe the first 30 minutes and I didn't see it. I don't know. I don't know why I wasn't. Again, maybe I wasn't in the mood for it. I don't know, but it didn't affect me in that way. And I was kind of like, but obviously, what did you think of it? Were you charmed by it?
Yeah, it was one of those movies where I didn't know anything about it. Didn't even watch the trailer. All I knew is that Damien Rugna, the director, writer-director from Argentina, he's one of the directors from Mike Mendez's Satanic Hispanics, right?
Yep, yep.
And a lot of people were raving about this movie, and I thought, well, okay, give it a chance. For me, right off the bat, it kind of just shocked me. Now, it's always tough because movies like this, you're reading because it's subtitled, right?
Yeah.
You gotta really be into it, you know, and that's hard because sometimes I don't want to read, you know, I just want to like lay back and just not pay attention all that, you know, closely sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. There is definitely a different kind of attention you pay something when you have to read it on the screen, for sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, I understand, speak, write, read Spanish and all that, but because it's, you know, an Argentinian film, some of the words are different. I'm not sure what they're saying. So you really have to read, you know, the subtitles. But I got into it really quick because the movie does not take long to get into.
Yeah, some of those gore scenes, like at the beginning, those, you know, they're great, right? They're shocking. It's out of control. But I don't know. For me, I couldn't get into the story, the lore. I couldn't get into the lore fast enough for some reason. Like, I love the gore, but I couldn't get into the lore. Love the gore, couldn't get the lore.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's a fresh, different take on an exorcism film. It's like, hey, here's a demon, and guess what? There's no priests. So you're like, well, what's going to happen? Like, what? You know? So you have to follow the lore, the storytelling that's unfolding, which talks about, you know, what the villagers believe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, somebody's infected, you know, whatever. So we gotta go fucking kill them, you know? Like there's no like, oh, poor kid or poor girl. It's like, no, we gotta go kill them now, you know? So that's what they believe, which is very different than like, hey, let's go get help, you know? Let's go call a priest, you know? It's like, none of that in this film. It's a very different film. What I did like is how you get a shocking moment and then you get another. And then you're like, okay, I'm safe. You know, because they're in the house, they're talking, whatever. Immediately, another shocking moment. You're like, damn. The director really catches you off guard with these moments. So if you get into it, like, it's, you get some little surprises here and there, you know? But yeah, it's a film you got to really be invested in to pay attention to. And for me, I had a hard time with that because I did not feel like reading, you know, the whole time, but I had to, it turns out, because otherwise I wouldn't understand the local meanings, dialects, words they used out in South America, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, overall, I did enjoy it. Another one of those low-budget films where, like, hey, you know, we're gonna have some pretty cool gore and stuff, you know, with some characters, but overall, it's like, it's gonna get wild. It's gonna get crazy. It's just follow the lore, you know. So yeah, I can totally understand that if it's hard to get into at first, or if it's the wrong time, wrong day, or...
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, with anything that I have that reaction to and I don't give it the fair shake, that's what I usually chalk it up to. It's like, it's got to be right. Just the wrong day, because there is no honest opinion unless you've sat and digested the entire piece of work, right? That's the only honest way you can give an honest criticism or have an opinion about anything. So that said, yes, I do have to revisit it. But that was just, yeah, but it was probably the wrong day, wrong time. I'm sure there's a bunch of great things I could think of after seeing it, but I will definitely check it out based on what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, good points all around. Yeah. And I mean, the gore was shocking. It was shocking. That part I definitely liked.
Yes.
I want to watch it like during the day.
Yeah, fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lately, we haven't had very much fresh eyes, as you can tell. Because, yeah, so we watched it during the tempest of our lives this past couple weeks. Yeah. So probably everything's taken with a spoonful of shit.
Yeah.
I caught up on some reading. I don't know. Talk about that. I probably talked about this before. Oh, there's Lauren with the sneeze.
Sorry.
I think I've talked about this before. I got caught up on reading Vampiris Carmilla, which is this new anthology horror magazine, black and white format, done in the style of the Warren Publishing mags that go back to the 50s, like books like Creepy, Eerie, Vampirella, and it really harnesses that energy. So it really takes you back, and it feels like you're back in the late 50s, 60s, reading a horror comic, and it is awesome. I used to go to a cabin every Easter, and the family up there had all those old comic books and magazines. And that's what we used to do. We used to go up there and kind of unearth these older magazines and sit there and read them all throughout the Easter holiday. And it was amazing. You're sitting in a creepy cabin in the woods. You're reading horror comics. Nostalgia. It was the best. So sitting here and reading those comics transports me right back to that era. And I love the horror anthology format. And Lauren and I also have been busy on our anthology horror podcast, The Antiquarium of Sinister Happenings and Odd Goings On.
Yeah, good stuff there, man.
Thank you. That you could, and a hell of a lot of work. My gosh, that's been keeping us busy as well. But yeah, so I've been just consuming anthology stuff left and right because I find it really inspiring. So I got caught up on some of that, and I really recommend heading out and grabbing. There's, besides Vampires Carmilla, there's another one that they do called Shudder, which is really, really good as well. And yeah, so we did that. And then what else? Oh, by the way, Antiquarium this week, the episode we have out features Mike Flanagan narrating, co-stars Kate Siegel, David Dasmalchian's in it.
As Mike's wife.
As Mike's wife. And Mike stars as Mike. And yes. Leah Kilpatrick's in it as well. I'm in it. Lauren's in it. Our kids are in it.
It's big nice. Party.
It's a huge cast. It's an ensemble cast. But you can go listen to that right now wherever you get your podcasts. And so we've been watching Fall of the House of Usher. Finally, we've been able to sit down and start unraveling Fall of the House of Usher. We're about at episode 6 right now. So we've been going on that journey. Leo, have you partaken yet in Fall of the House of Usher?
I haven't even started it yet. It's been so tough to sit down to get that one started because of, you know, I really want to give my full attention, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly the experience we've had too. So that's why it's taken us this long. And yeah, we're in it, man. It is very, very unique. I mean, one of the many great things about Mike Flanagan is his ability to reinvent himself constantly. It's never what you'd expect. And this is exactly that. It's not what you'd expect in a very delightful way. The performances are insane. The monologues, the writing is just at an all-time peak. It's extraordinary. It's gripping and very fun to get through. And we can't wait to wrap it up over the next few episodes. And yeah, wait for Leo to see it all. And then we can have some more in-depth conversations and hopefully have some cast. Now that strike's over, right?
Yes.
Have some cast come in and talk to us all about it because there's a lot to talk about.
True.
Yeah. And congrats to Mike on that show because, Every time I hear a weekly recap, like on talk radio, you know,
yeah,
they give you the news, like top movies of the week, top shows of the week, top streams. And Fall of the House of Usher has been consistently number one week after week on Netflix. That blows my mind, and I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, it's got a really strong dramatic hook, and I really think it's just gripping people and taking them along for the ride. And the characters, so many interesting characters too, that it's addictive in that way.
It really is. I love it.
Yeah. Michael Trucco is, oh my God, he's creepy in this. He is so creepy in this, and I love it. It's so great. Anyway,
the Boo Crew will be right back.
Black Christmas.
There was a little girl murdered over in the park tonight.
Yes, I heard.
A high school girl's been murdered. Mr. Harrison's daughter is missing. And now at the house where she lives, the other girls are getting obscene phone calls.
Hello?
What are you doing?
Remember those idyllic scenes out of your childhood? Crisp winter nights, sleigh bells, crackling Yule logs? Remember those? Remember them well. After Black Christmas, they'll never be the same again. Black Christmas, starring Olivia Hussey, Keir Dulley, Margot Kidder, and starring John Saxon as Lieutenant Fuller. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
So, we've been watching that, and we all went and saw, I believe, Leo, you saw this too, Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So you guys went without me because I think that's when I was sick, and I took Scarlett, our 14-year-old daughter, to go see it the other night over the weekend, and we had a great experience with it as well. So what was your guys' take on it? Leo, I'm very curious about yours. I've talked to Lauren. She'll tell you, tell everybody hers in a sec, but Leo, I want to hear what your take was on this movie. I never got to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised because just the way the movie kicks off, you expect... Oh, okay, let me backtrack. I didn't know what to expect because of the faux trailer that he put out back in the Grindhouse movie days. I thought it was going to have that tone and that storyline,
Yeah, kind of like that throwback feel of that Grindhouse thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't. It just had a solid story, and if I'm not mistaken, apparently this John Carver guy is real.
I was wondering about that. I never got to look that up. Lauren, this is like Joe Rogan. We'll ask him. Look that up, Lauren.
I am.
I was wondering if it was based on, on a true history.
Yeah, apparently.
Because, I mean, the name is perfect for a John Carver. Right. Come on.
I don't know. I don't think he was a killer or anything, but he was a person that lived,
Sure, sure. But I'm just saying the name sounds like they made it up for the movie. It's perfect.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I was...
I did... No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt, but to start, I didn't even realize, you call me stupid. I didn't even realize Eli Roth directed this until the very end of the movie, because I always thought that he was on as a producer and co-writer, and that Justin Harding was directing this entire movie for some reason, who's worked on his TV shows like Urban Legend and Haunted Museum. I thought it was Justin Harding directing, but I think he was like an assistant director or part of a unit, but it was actually Eli that directed the whole thing. Was I the only one who thought this, or did you think that too, Leo?
No, I did think so. I did think some of that before, because I thought I read, that's what I'd read before,
Yeah, that's what I swear I read that somewhere. Cool. Yeah.
So, I was surprised that he, ended up directing it himself. But you can kind of see, that it would take Eli Roth to pull this off, because, I mean, there are some scenes in the beginning where there's massive amounts of people. It's like hundreds, thousands,
Yeah.
And then the choreography of what goes down in the opening scene, and not the opening scene, but the opening, first 10-20 minutes of the movie.
Amazing sequence of events too. I loved it. It's so great.
And it's so perfect because it sets up premise or excuse for the movie to exist, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, there's so much social commentary on this thing that's right in your face, and it makes perfect sense. Right. They really did a good job of making a story that connects, because I was instantly in for the whole thing. And to me, it was like, it really came across as, I mean, I gotta say, I liked, this is a hot take, I enjoyed it more than a lot of the Scream movies. Like, I thought it was Scream. It was what I liked about the Scream movies mixed in with what's great about Terrifier, where they pull no punches. They aren't afraid to go take it super, super far, to the point where when we saw it, people were laughing through a lot of it. And then the more intense parts, as the movie progresses and gets really crazy, people stop laughing. And I noticed I was like the only one laughing because it was so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. I loved it so much, how far they went.
Oh, dude. And those kills were so spectacular.
Oh.
Because it's like, it's not just like, hey, we're going to take an axe to the head or something. No, no, no. We're going to fuck you up bad for the first, 30 seconds. And then you think that the scene's over and it's like, no. Something worse is about to happen. So the kills were fantastic.
I love that. Yes. It, like, practical gore effects all over the place. Yeah. I love that so much. Lauren,
of course,
you got
the sexiest.
What were you going to say?
In the great cast, which I really enjoy the cast, we also have the sexiest man alive in the cast. I go, wow, I never thought I'd see Patrick Dempsey in a horror movie.
Right. Yeah, I know. I didn't even, I don't even think I looked at a poster before going to see it. So I didn't even know Patrick Dempsey was in the movie. I didn't know anything about any of the cast, really. It was, my daughter was like, a lot of these people are social influencers, like Addison Rae. And I think there was someone from a Disney movie in there, like the zombie Disney musical, I think, was in there. And she knew who all these people were, but. Yeah, man, do I ever sound old right now. Anyway, Lauren, what was your take on it? You were excited for me to see it. Like, Lauren was like, you got to take Scarlett to go see it. Like, you bought us our tickets. You're like, get out and see it.
I know. I put up with the rest of our children just so you guys can go see it.
And that was not fun.
That was definitely not
fun. It was scarier than the movie, probably.
That cough was on Everett. So yeah, it was, I really, really enjoyed it. It was everything I wanted it to be, based on that trailer. I remember when we saw the trailer originally, I'm like, I thought this would make an incredible film if it was ever really made. Like, now I'm like, I want to see Edgar Wright's Don't.
Yeah, they got to do every single one. The Rob Zombie one in there, too. And Edgar Wright's Don't. And, well, we got Machete, right? We got Machete and we got Thanksgiving. This is great. Let's keep it going.
Let's definitely keep it going. I love it because the kills were so intense and practical and done so well. And I love all the props. And I love Thanksgiving. Like, I just love that holiday because it's about family and food. And I love both those things.
And the weather is usually just awesome around that time of year. And also, cinematically, I remember, was it last year, 2 years ago? I don't know. We got Knives Out.
Yes.
And I remember seeing that on Thanksgiving. To me, that was a perfect Thanksgiving movie, right?
Yeah.
Giant family and some old creepy haunted looking house. And then we get Thanksgiving. We get Eli Roth's Thanksgiving this year. Just great.
Yeah, there's not enough Thanksgiving movies, I feel like. So this is so good. Cause I like when the seasons come along, I watch like Anna and the Apocalypse during the Christmas season and like all the Christmas movies, horror movies, and then obviously the Halloween classics. But then during Thanksgiving, I like to watch, I want something seasonal, and there wasn't a lot. And I'm going to watch this every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. He's given us a new modern classic. I will say, back in 2007 when Grindhouse came out, just the, and I probably talked about this before, but just the experience of sitting in the theater when they did that run of playing both Death Proof and Planet Terror back to back, when they had them both together and they had the trailers, because then they split them up for the right, because people didn't get it.
Yeah,
I remember people weren't going to see Grindhouse because they didn't really get it, and I understand that. And then they split up Death Proof and Planet Terror, but for the while that they were doing kind of that big, that roadshow version where you got to experience it all at once, it was and still remains as probably my most memorable cinematic experience of my lifetime, to be able to sit there and just immerse yourself in that experience that they created, because it was an immersive experience beginning to end. It was just not these great movies. It was the vibe that was surrounding them with the fake trailers and the intermission, old intermission footages from drive-in theaters and everything. And it just evoked such a strong emotional connection to those days. And it took you back there and made you feel like you were sitting in the movie theater back then. And it just, I'll never forget it. And to be able to see those trailers and now have them come to life, I just, I'm tickled pink. What can I say? I loved it. I love being able to see it. And I like, you know, now that I was kind of thinking, okay, well, because I remember, I think I asked you, because you'd seen it first, whether it did have that throwback vibe, whether the film was kind of degraded and had that old vintage kind of look. And you said it didn't. I'm almost glad, because I wonder if they made that decision because it would have made the whole film just campy, like right. Almost overwhelmingly campy. And it might have made some of the social commentary and the visceralness of those crazy special effects and everything have maybe less of an impact if they weren't drilled into as very serious moments.
Right.
You know, maybe that was part of the thinking. Leo, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that totally. And also, I was thinking of how he still managed to pull and pay homage to his original trailer.
Yeah.
Like there were, I think, two or three scenes
mm-hmm.
that were pulled from the trailer where you're like, he's not going to film that. And he does. And you're like, shit. And that's, like, I was just smiling. There were no scenes because it was just like, okay, so you can't film your original movie stylistically and comically, or, you know, but you're making it as a modern day, more serious of a slasher, you know, with a storyline that makes sense. And yet he still paid homage to those scenes. And I go, fantastic. So I really thought that when those scenes played out, it was just a great little Easter egg bun, you know, for us.
Yeah, you could pick out the people in the theater who remembered that from the trailer, who saw the original trailer.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I got really excited. And it's also nice to know, looking this up, that this movie was written by the same person, or co-written. It was Eli and then his co-writer. And they were also the same two who came up with the original idea for that trailer. So it's not like they enlisted a new writer or something. It was Jeff Rendell who they came up with the idea for Thanksgiving back when they were 18. The two of them were joking about this, and then ended up
crazy
using that idea for the trailer, and then, you know, went and wrote this whole script. I'm very curious, though. I haven't seen any recent interviews with Eli, if this original idea they had for Thanksgiving was closer to the cinematic version we just got, or the trailer that we saw in Grindhouse, or if it was even thought out to the version of that cinematic version that we just got, the full feature length. I'm very curious about that.
So John Carver was one of the pilgrims who braved the Mayflower voyage in 1620, which resulted in the creation of Plymouth Colony in America. He is credited with writing the Mayflower Compact and was its first signer, and he was also the first governor of Plymouth Colony.
That's perfect. And they must have, when they were looking through this lore and everything, they must have been like, we'll use John Carver.
Yes.
Fucking perfect, right?
Oh my God.
Yes!
Freaking perfect.
And the mask design, too. We get a great mask.
Oh,
we get a new
mask.
Iconic mask. Oh, what's not to love about Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I love it all.
Anything else, Leo? Did you catch anything else?
And I just watched a bunch of Twilight Zone episodes. I got really inspired because...
Yeah, Twilight Zone. Lauren, you had that experience with Twilight Zone and Thanksgiving. Kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah. I think the marathon, they used to show it. I used to watch it every Thanksgiving all day on TV.
Yeah, same here. That was a tradition for me too, but I don't know when they stopped that. And now it's like a weird New Year's Eve tradition or something, I think. That's when you'll see them on TV, but I'll just stream them on whatever app that is, you know, that has them. Like I look it up on the app and then it shows me the episodes and I just hit play. It's just amazing that one guy wrote most of those episodes, you know? Rod Sterling, you know, like, I think his daughter's still alive, so, you know, she's kind of a spokesperson, you know, for him, you know? She'll go on talk radio once a year around this time and talk about his legacy and all that, but just, I mean, talk about, I see what you guys do with Anthicorium podcast, like, you know, how much creativity that takes and how much effort and work, and I'm thinking, that's what it's got to be like Rod Sterling, like just have all these wild ideas to make each Twilight Zone episode and yet cast unknown actors who later become big Hollywood actors.
Oh.
You know, so it's like maybe you would have seen like a couple of things that Elizabeth Montgomery was in, and then she's famous for Bewitched, you know, and she was in a couple episodes of Twilight Zone, same thing with William Shatner.
Oh yeah, that's right. We were watching that. Remember, we were watching the on Disney Plus, Behind the Attraction. Is that what it's called when they go behind the making of the rides? And they were doing watched the Tower of Terror one, and they were showing all the clips because they had to sit and watch every single episode of Twilight Zone, the Imagineers, when they were making that ride, and they showed the clips of the William Shatner and everything in the old Twilight Zones. Yeah. So cool. So cool. We actually, our daughter who was watching the Behind the Attraction show with us, we started taking her down kind of like a horror education. Well, you did, Lauren, right? She was watching It Chapter 1 and 2, Black Phone, Ouija Origin of Evil.
Oh, yeah. She just dived
and
right.
This is little JD. This isn't our 14-year-old.
This is like our 9-year-old.
Oh, no. Yeah.
She's like obsessed with It Chapter 1. I didn't let her watch Chapter 2. I think she has to be a little older to understand it.
Yeah.
So I told her she had to wait. She watched The Black Phone without me. Like, I didn't know she was
watching. Oh, really?
Watching.
She just watched that on her own?
Yeah. I think she was like, well, since I saw it, I can watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She was like, oh, the kids are just downstairs all the time. I don't know. But It Chapter 1. Like, that was, she kept going back to It Chapter 1. Out of everything she saw, It Chapter 1.
She put it on today. Like,
really? That's like her go-to now.
And she's very mad at the lack of It props in this house.
God.
Yeah.
You and me both, kid.
I know. So. Yeah.
But she, and on her Christmas list, Pennywise costume.
And a curse word pass.
Yeah,
a
curse word pass. I asked her, like, is that like one, like, is it limited? What does that mean? Like, you say a word, you get we have a hole puncher, you know, like a loyalty card, like a Yogurtland or whatever, and like pop a thing because she says the F-bomb, and she only gets 9 more or whatever for the year. But no, she says I get to say swear all the time.
Oh, gosh.
She's like, what do you want to say? Wow. Like, what do you want to say? Why? Why is swearing so fun?
Oh, my gosh.
She's into it. That's dropped an F-bomb upstairs tonight.
She did?
Yeah, she just said, fuck. And I was like, lost dessert, dude.
Why,
and then she came
she
up to me
it?
And kicked the desk I was building.
But why did she drop the F-bomb?
No reason.
Oh, man.
She just walked in and she go, fuck. I was like, what the hell? What did you say?
You sure she wasn't watching hockey and then she yelled, puck?
No. Yeah, straight up. Everett's like, what the hell? Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Kiddos. Kiddos. Oh, and then you watch Five Nights at Freddy.
Yes, we watched.
Five Nights at Freddy's? What is it called?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah. Yeah, we watched
officially
that.
Now, what? The highest grossing
movie. That's right. Blumhouse movie, yeah.
Yep, we watched that, and I kept referring to the characters as like things I've seen them in. And
oh, like Elizabeth Lail from You.
I was like, PETA.
Yeah.
And Jane was like, what? I was like, that guy. Like, I couldn't catch his name. I think because I was like, I was busy and I don't know, I was working. And then they were also talking. It was just madness. So I couldn't really catch anybody's name. So then I'm like, what did, you know, Guinevere Beck just do? Like, and they're like all confused.
I still remember. I like sometimes I forget that Elizabeth Lail had come over to promote Countdown.
Yes. I don't think I'll ever forget that.
And because I had like barely just started watching You at that point. And you had been watching You for a while. So you were super excited that she was in. And then right after she left, I started like okay, I'm going to watch the rest of You. And now I wish I could go back and re-meet her.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, she's so fantastic. Oh,
she is.
Yeah. 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 If you haven't watched You, by the way. Oh, I can't believe we still haven't finished Servant. Lauren and I have not finished Servant. We left it on like a cliffhanger. I think we were 3 episodes out.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
Wow. I'll tell you though, it is a great ending.
Oh, TV has become something that's been so hard for us, you know, just due to the commitment, right? You, like we've said, you got to be in the right mindset to be able to consume, because if you stop and let life get in the way for a while, you can sometimes forget everything you just saw, right? You kind of got to you got to keep building on it. Watch, you know? Anyhow, I think there was something else I was going to talk about. Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about this before we end this. I just saw recently, stumbled across this by accident, but John Squires at Bloody Disgusting just wrote an article about McG and the babysitter, and we're in the article.
What?
Yeah.
What
the hell?
So he quotes this. I'm going to read a little bit of the article.
So nice.
According to director McG, who helmed both, this is John Squires' words happening here from BloodyDisgusting.com. According to director McG, who helmed both The Babysitter and The Babysitter Killer Queen, the possibility of a third film in the franchise is very much still on the table. That makes me very excited. I love The Babysitter films.
It makes me really excited too.
So here we go. Yeah, we're still talking about it. He tells comicbook.com. It was fun. The first movie obviously gave Samara Weaving to the world. The second movie was Jenna Ortega. Hopefully we can answer the call and find a third star that reaches those lofty heights. There have always been 3 beats to this story, McG explained to Bloody Disgusting's own Boo Crew back in 2020. I remember that. I remember being very excited. Shortly after the release of Killer Queen, there's the first beat, which is an adolescent Cole who's having these strange feelings about the babysitter. But naturally, it's not appropriate for him to realize those feelings with a grown woman. In the second film, he's in an age where he can experience love. And we can explore that. I don't want to talk about the third beat of the Cole arc yet. But should the audience like this movie, we are ready to do the third one. Let's see if people like this one. You can see Judah Lewis, by the way, in Joe Lynch's Suitable Flesh. If you want to get your Judah Lewis fix, he is phenomenal. And phenomenal in the babysitter movies as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So are we getting another one?
It sounds like it's very possible. Maybe he said that to kind of stoke the fire, get the audience starting to drill those questions again and demand it. So I think we should. I would love to see those first two. Like, to me, the second one is just as good as the first one.
They're so fun.
Right? They're so fun. So high energy. Leo, would you be excited for a third babysitter?
Yeah, definitely.
Would
bring back Bella Thorne.
Bring back everybody. You gotta have the whole crew. So good. Well, we'll keep you posted on that as details emerge, and hopefully there will be details very soon.
Yeah, you know what we're not gonna get?
What?
Jenna Ortega in Scream.
Yes. Yeah, I heard about that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the future of that of that franchise. So we're very excited to see a Chris Landon Scream.
Yes, he is so great.
He's amazing.
Because she's not even the lead actress in the movie. It's the other girl. I can't think of her name. Barbara. They basically kicked her out of the movie because of something she posted online about the Middle Eastern situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then soon after, Jen Ortega was like, I'm out. Because of my scheduling conflict.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to rework the whole thing. But so if anybody can do it.
Chris Landon is Chris Landon. He can do it. He can do it.
Of course.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Also, one more thing. Finally, we've been hearing so much about this movie. People have been seeing it at festivals and have been so damn jealous.
Nosferatu?
That as well. But
Late Night with the Devil.
David Desmalch in Late Night with the Devil. It got picked up by IFC Shudder. No release date yet that I've been able to find, but I know that it's getting a theatrical first, and we will be all there seeing this thing. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I won't dive too far into the reviews because I don't want it spoiled in any way. I know it takes place in the 70s. He plays a talk show host, and his performance is just obviously mind-blowing, and I mean, he's an incredible actor. Nothing he's done has been anything short of extraordinary, so I can't wait to experience this film, and I will be in the theater. We will all be there.
We will all be there.
Cheering on David and experiencing the horror of Late Night with the Devil.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm out of gas now, man. My voice is starting to go because I'm still kind of getting over this thing. You guys got anything else, or are we good to go for this week? Are we calling it an episode? We calling it a mediocre episode.
Do we know when Nosferatu is coming out? Or we just saw images. I don't know. I'm very excited. I need to look more into that.
Leo, do you know? You just look it up, Lauren. You can look it up. Robert Eggers. Here, let me write. This is real super pro. Nosferatu. I think it's done, right?
It is done. I'm pretty sure.
Because I've been hearing rumblings of test screenings and all that stuff been going on.
I want to go to a test screening.
Sometime this year. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's an official release date yet. They've just been leaking images and all that stuff. Nicholas Holt, haunted by Count Orlok. Very cool picture. Yeah, you can see him online. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be great. Robert Eggers. God. So many great creators in the horror genre. It's a great time to be a horror fan.
It really
is. Not a great time to be a Boo Crew fan. For you, for our one fan who's listening.
Aww.
Who's just our friend.
Cheers to you in Indiana.
All right. Well, we'll be back with another episode very soon. Hopefully better than this one. Possibly soon as later this week. We will get writer Michael Kennedy on. We are so excited to talk to him about his new film, It's a Wonderful Knife. We got to make this happen. We cannot wait. Shudder and AMC Plus December 1st. And I don't know, you listening, do you care about a year-end wrap-up show? DM us if you even would listen to that. Production tracks for this one provided by the good folks at Power Man 5000. Till next time, for Leo, Lauren, and myself, it's the Boo Crew saying,
sweet screams.
Hell yeah!
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Boo Crew Podcast. Haunt the Boo Crew at TalesFromTheBooCrew.com. Tales from the Boo Crew on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at TalesFromTheBoo. The Boo Crew is Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio. The Boo Crew is produced by Lauren Shand, chopped and sliced by Trevor Shand. The Boo Crew is a TSP creation, part of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Bye.
A Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network. Home of the Boo Crew. Horror-centric interviews. SCP archives. Weekly full cast storytelling. Horror queers. Genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective. And creepy. For disturbing and terrifying creepypastas. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.